Grainy pictures taken by security cameras are among the last records of suspected September 11th terrorist Mohammed Atta. On September 10th and 11th, Atta was photographed by commercial surveillance cameras at locations around Portland, Maine, and Boston, Massachusetts. Whether more sophisticated surveillance techniques can be used to prevent future terrorist attacks is the subject of intense debate. Today, in conjunction with the NPR program Justice Talking, reporter Jad Abumrad looks at video surveillance in New York City. There, cameras are considered either key elements for public safety or an invasion of privacy.
Even on a Wednesday afternoon, Times Square is thick with tourists and street performers. It's what Bill Brown calls a saturated environment, though he's not referring to the people.
Standing here, as we are in Times Square, we can be watched by four, if not more, different surveilling authorities.
Brown is a member of the Surveillance Camera Players. Each week, he gives walking tours of heavily surveilled neighborhoods in Manhattan. He begins the Times Square tour, his most popular, at 46th Street between 7th Avenue and Broadway, under what looks like a street lamp.
This one that's directly above us doesn't look like a surveillance camera at all, because the camera is itself about an inch or so long, and it's enclosed within a translucent globe-shaped piece of plastic.
Inside that translucent globe, Bill explains, the tiny invisible camera can swivel 360 degrees, and it can zoom in close enough to read a Broadway ticket in the hand of a scalper 50 feet away.
Any Lion King face value?
The camera Bill Brown points to is operated by the New York Police Department. It's one of four the police operate in Times Square. No one knows how many surveillance cameras there are throughout Manhattan, though some years ago, the New York Civil Liberties Union took an informal count and found nearly 2,500.
And we know that, like the census, it is a low-ball figure.
Donna Lieberman of the NYCLU points to a giant map of the surveillance landscape.
So here is the map of Manhattan. The private cameras are denoted by the red pins, and the public cameras are denoted in yellow. If we go down to the southern tip of Manhattan, we see so many pins you can hardly get a word in edgewise, as it were.
What's this cluster right here?
These are the courts, and this is Wall Street. And this, by the way, is the World Trade Center, where there was another cluster of government cameras.
As the pins show, aside from small clusters around government buildings, the vast majority of cameras are in private hands, some 85%. They are used in ATM machines, building entries and exits, garages, and corner stores. But now, after September 11th, many Americans are asking if there shouldn't be more cameras in the hands of law enforcement.
I feel like I have a renewed mission.
Joseph Attic is CEO of Visionix, a company that makes face recognition software.
My work for the last 14 years is now being called upon by the leadership in this country and the civilized world to say, can you help us?
A surveillance camera equipped with Visionix software can actively scan a crowd, digitize each face it sees, and then compare the faces against a computer database of suspected terrorists and wanted criminals. Attic has been urging government officials to adopt his technology in airports, embassies, and at borders. He says that had the government done this earlier, September 11th might not have happened.
We know now that 3 out of the 19 were already known on watch lists. And knowing how many checkpoints these people had to go through, we had a high probability to alert, intercept these individuals, maybe August 21st or 23rd, when they crossed from the Canadian border, and we could have perhaps foiled the whole plot.
But the question is whether face recognition technology is sophisticated enough to be useful. A Defense Department study found face cams are easily tripped up by changes in hairstyle or by simple disguises. Visionix software often confuses men for women.
Is it 100%? No, it isn't.
The point, he says, is not to create a foolproof system, but to create one that works just well enough to provide a credible visual deterrent to crime. In a sense, it's the same logic that makes the club work. In Newham, England, a borough of London, that philosophy motivated police to install 500 cameras with Visionix software around shopping malls. And for every camera, the town posted 12 signs alerting potential criminals that they were being watched. Bob Lack is director of security at Newham and one of the first people to push for CCTV, closed-circuit surveillance system used by law enforcement.
Back in 1996, when we installed the first CCTV system in Newham, we found we had, without using any technologies, a 35% reduction in crime in the area where the cameras were installed. When we installed and announced the fact we were using technologies such as facial recognition, we got another 30%+ reduction in crime, just by letting the criminals know that we would know when they're out there.
Britain's surveillance boom began in the early 90s, in the wake of several bombings by the IRA. The cameras sit atop traffic lights, lampposts, in the ceilings of escalators, hospitals. There are even cameras in the back of buses. And everywhere, signs announce their presence. It's estimated that around Britain, there are between 1.5 to 2.5 million security cameras accessible by law enforcement. The average Londoner is said to be photographed by 300 cameras in a single day. And more may be on the way, according to Bob Lack. Primarily, he says, because for the past 5 years, crime in London on the whole has been on the rise.
We're now looking at crime rates in England of one mobile phone being stolen every minute.
Mark LeBarrel is a professor of law at New York University and an expert in privacy law. What worries him is that CCTV's initial target, terrorists, has now become cell phone thieves, and he wonders who's next.
There's now indication that the records that are obtained from the surveillance cameras can also be used or will also be used domestically. So that what we see there is this evolution where the stated purpose was one thing initially, and now it's migrated to keep track of things other than terrorism.
The New York Times recently reported that Britain's CCTV surveillance has not resulted in the arrest of a single terrorist, and that the system's operators are as likely to use the cameras to keep loiterers out of shopping malls or to spy on attractive women. For privacy advocates like Bill Brown, there is little choice but to remind people of the spirit of the Constitution.
So one of the things that I do on each and every walking tour is read aloud the text of the Fourth Amendment, positioning the book in such a way that the camera could read over my shoulder what it is that I'm reading. So I'm now pointing to the Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated.
Most legal experts agree the Fourth Amendment doesn't bar video surveillance. People don't have the right to be anonymous in public. Meanwhile, New York City is considering a recommendation to install 100 cameras with face recognition software in Times Square, which means Bill Brown's tour is about to get more interesting. For NPR News, this is Jad Abumrad in New York.